We're going to continue through our verse-by-verse exposition of Mark. And as we come to today's passage, we remind ourselves that we are in the last week of the earthly life of Jesus. He has the cross imminently on his mind, knowing that as we sit at probably Tuesday or Wednesday in today's passage, it's only a couple days left until all that will come to pass. We saw on Sunday, as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, as on the road between Bethany and the great city, the people with great fanfare were ushering him in, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Seeing the people react like this, last week, we saw as Jesus was passing, again coming from Bethany into Jerusalem, they passed a fig tree. And as Jesus was hungry and approached the fig tree for food, as it was in leaf, which meant it should have had fruit, it had none. And as Jesus cursed that fig tree, and we saw the representation of that as that of the temple of Israel. It was all leafy on the outside. To the people it looked good, but it bore no fruit. Well, that's kind of that's where we are then this morning. We ended last week with the next morning as they were passing by, Peter looking up and saying, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And what's not really implied here, but we find more in the same story in Matthew, is the complete and immediate destruction or death of this fig tree. As Jesus cursed it, it died then and there. And then as the disciples passed the next day, it was completely and utterly withered. Now Jesus is going to go from this and segue into a couple more lessons for his disciples. So if you would, let's go ahead and open up to Mark chapter 11. We'll begin in verse 20 to pick up our context. And we'll go through verse 26 this morning. As they were passing by in the mountain in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. And truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your guidance this morning. Father, I ask for your wisdom as we read through and extrapolate from your word just what it is you'd have us to see. Father, these are some passages that very easily can be taken out of context. Many churches today use these as the basis for some pretty wrong doctrine. So, Father, I pray that you might help us to see this morning just what it is that you're trying to teach your disciples. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Within the context of this passage this morning, we're going to be dealing with a couple of subjects. Faith, prayer, and forgiveness. And just what exactly is faith, we will take a look at. But remember, as Jesus is here in the last week of his life, preparing his disciples for when he is going to leave them, he's already taught them many lessons. As the disciples came upon the lame man, or the son, the lame son, and tried to heal him and could not, Jesus said they could not because they did not pray or pray properly. They were trying to do things in their own power and not within the power and framework of God. And it's in that context that we will approach these verses this morning. As Peter reminds Jesus, "Jesus, there is the fig tree that you cursed yesterday. Look at it. It's dead." And Jesus comes back, his answer to Peter's statement is, "Have faith in God." Now remember, the fig tree was a picture of the destruction of the temple. Jesus was saying, this is what the temple is going to look like. And I think for just a moment, Peter got a little bit of that, as he points it out and says, look. And Jesus says, have faith in God. That truly is the center of everything for a believer. To have faith. Well, what exactly is faith? The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's going to be our basis for where we find our definition of faith as we continue through this passage. And we will kind of look at what faith is in this passage and what faith is not. And sometimes when we come to passages like this, I mean, we had one this morning in Sunday school. There's passages that we, when we come upon these, we don't want to get too difficult in our interpretation of them. Scripture says what Scripture says. But yet Scripture cannot say something that contradicts the entirety of the rest of Scripture. So verse 23, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. On the outset, this passage appears to say that no matter what, if we have faith, that faith being we have the presumption of knowing what we want, and if we voice it and have no doubts, it will be given us. That means then faith would be kind of a magic power that we have. Christ is saying, disciples, whatever you want, as long as you believe that it's going to happen, it will. And believe me, there's theology out there today that states just that. And when something happens within that mindset, whether it's a loved one who's dying, whether it's a marriage that's breaking up, whether it's a job that's about to be lost, according to the pretense that some people would say today, all we have to do is have enough faith and everything will go our way. And when that doesn't happen, then the reason why that loved one died is because you don't have enough faith. Well, let's look at this on the outset. Whoever says to this mountain, and Jesus was pointing to the Mount of Olives, says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. Had that ever been demonstrated? Had the Mount of Olives ever been taken up and moved? Could it have been? Yes. But it could have been only by God. Remember the first phrase here that Jesus says, have faith in God. And the principle here is not that I have a magic potion, that I can have everything that I want, but rather I have a God who can do anything and everything that He desires. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. The psalmist says, Lord, give me the desires of my heart. As God's children, as we live in His family underneath His rule, His desires should become our desires. Our desires should become His desires. Think of it with your own children. When your children come to you and ask you for something that's completely outrageous, what is our reaction? As your 12-year-old comes and says, "Dad, will you buy me a Ferrari?" But if that same child comes to you and says, "Dad, can I go with you this afternoon to be able to spend some more time with you?" What then is going to be our reaction? If our children ask things of us that are things that we desire to give them, we are more apt to make it so. And as we as God's children come to God and ask Him of things that are things that He wants and are part of His will, we can have them. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure if there's anywhere in Scripture where something is asked of God that's asked in a sinful tone, asked in a selfish tone, that God will miraculously grant. If this were to be true, if we were to take this verse, these verses, in the context that we necessarily read them in, then something would have been terribly wrong. As in Jesus, in John 17, prayed to the Father, "Lord, please let this cup pass from me. But Lord, not your will, but mine be done." Did Jesus not have enough faith to escape the cross? No, I think Jesus' faith was plenty adequate as the Son of God and God Himself. Life doesn't always go the way we think it should. And I wish I had the answers to why. Why so many children today are taking their own lives? Why people are walking into schools and shooting people? I'm sure there's people all the time praying and having faith, but maybe not faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. They have faith that through their prayers they can protect their children at school, or their children at home. And things still happen. Is that because their faith was not strong enough? As we look at this world, we see it in one way. We see this world through our own eyes, in our own perspectives. As close as me and my wife are, I don't see this world through her eyes. We see it much differently. And we don't always understand the whys and the whats of what's happening. What kind of things can we have faith in that will move mountains? We can have faith in God. And that faith will help us get through the mountains of our life. Have you ever been so tired of a situation in your life? You almost feel like you're treading a mountain. You almost go back to the children's story of the little engine that could. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Well, Jesus is reassuring his disciples that they can through Christ. 2 or 3 days from this point in the disciples' lives, they will face a mountain that will look unpassable to them. Everything they have put their entire life into over the course of the last 3 years is going to be taken from them. Their leader, the man that they have followed, is going to be tried, convicted of false crimes, sentenced to death, be beaten, hung on a cross to die, be buried, and they're going to be in the fringes looking in. None of them will even have the courage to be anywhere close. What a mountain. I'm going to take you back to the story of Peter. As he was in a boat and looked and saw Jesus afar off, and Peter, in his excitement, sees Jesus walking on the water. I'm not sure what Peter's mindset was. I don't know if Peter necessarily thought real hard at this point. But Peter hops out of the boat and starts walking to Jesus on the top of the water. And as Peter gets closer to Jesus, the Bible says that Peter begins to sink. And Jesus reaches out and grabs his hand And what does Jesus say? O you of little faith. That's generally the type of faith that we have. It's generally little faith. Or as the disciples, when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, as they were with this man and his son, and they could not heal him, and Jesus said, it's because you have no faith. So our faith needs to be in God. Seems like so many today who practice this wrongly have a lot of faith in themselves. Our obedience needs to be to God. And we need to realize that we are not in a position, no matter how much faith we have, to change the mind or will of God. Or Jesus would have been able to do that. As he says, Father, take this cup from me. And that's a lot of stuff to think about. As we apply the filter, if faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can we have faith in God? The disciples, their faith was changed. It was redirected. As Jesus was raised from the dead. As he was walking with them on the day of his ascension and told them that he would send them a comforter. And as they waited, and as in that time with at the upper room as they prayed, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were different men. Are we different people having Christ? Do we pray and ask? And the things that we pray and ask for, are they things that we know that God would want of us? I was passing the billboard this morning on the way down here. Two different lotteries, both approaching $300 billion. If we pray to win that, and we don't, is that because we don't have faith? If we pray to win that and don't purchase anything to be able to do that, to gain that by, is that going to happen? Sometimes we pray for the wrong things in the wrong ways. Our desires need to be his desires. our thoughts need to start to begin to be His thoughts. We need to have faith that He can comfort us, that He can guide us, and that He can move us to where we are. Nowhere in Scripture is faith a magic potion to make things happen that are outside of God's will. I want to have faith that I can be more like Him. I think I struggle in that sometimes. I want to have faith that you can be more like Him. And He wants us to be more like Him. So if that's the case, if that is our prayer, is that something that will be granted of us? I say yes. And I'm going to end short this morning. I'm not going to cover our last point. I want to go ahead and cover that next week. In its entirety, to have some time to spend on the area of forgiveness. Because I know I struggle, and I think each and every one of us struggle in this area. What does it mean when God says, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you." And we'll look at that next week. Let's pray. Father, Lord, again, a difficult passage. One on the outset looks like it communicate so clearly that, Lord, we could do anything as long as we have faith. But Father, that faith, and I hope I communicated this properly, that faith has to be centered in your will. Father, show us your will. Show us where you'd have us to be in our life, in relation to our relationship with you. Father, that we might shed away those things that are all of us. And Father, put on those things that are of you. Father, I look around and sometimes I think we want verses such as this to be true because we want to see miraculous power from you in our lives. Father, we can see that if we remain in your will. So help us, Lord, to lead us there. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person here this morning. And Lord, in our struggles that we go through day by day, may we put our faith and trust in you. Have faith in God. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.